an ever-changing world, Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you have never felt before. Life changes with Filippo. And now, your host, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, John. Boy, I tried to make him laugh while he was doing that. I was tickling him with a feather and nothing. Boy, he's the best host and the best producer. I mean, the best producer and the best announcer. Thank you, John. John Snow. Wow. You know, it's really interesting. I was part of a show before this one called Filippo and the Chef, actually, and we actually had a segment where we read the mail every week, and we got mail, and we read it, but this show, we don't have that segment, and we've gotten more mail than we know what to do with, which is very exciting, because we don't have a segment on the show for mail. So I'm going to use this particular segment just today, at least, and I know in the past, to talk about some of the mail that's come in. And in this particular one, I just wanted to read one because, ironically, it gets into a topic that I wanted to speak about last week but didn't get a chance to because we were running out of time for my segment because we talked so much about so many wonderful things. So in any event, this is from a listener who writes, and I've changed the names of the parties involved. Even though I've asked for permission, I've changed the names nonetheless just to make it anonymous. But the listener writes, I had a chance to listen to your radio program where you were interviewing an English artist that feels colors. By the way, that was Michael Pattinson. Who actually we received a lot of mail about him, which is wonderful. That was an excellent show. Can't wait to have him back. So the listener goes on to say in his email to us, interestingly enough, at Showtime, I was in Santa Barbara visiting a former partner of mine, an English man named Montgomery. So he goes on to say about Michael Pattinson, I loved his creativity and openness about the endless possibilities to create. Now, Montgomery, not to disparage, but he is more like the Scrooge character in Dickens' Christmas Carol. Anyway, long story short, Montgomery listened to the program with me that evening because of your guest's accent. So I guess he picked up on the English and that made him interested enough to listen to the show. Well, thank God for small favors. In the program, you and your guests spoke of the need for community and help the world heal and grow in a better consciousness. Well, granted, that is not exactly Mr. Scrooge type of thinking, and I was surprised that Montgomery was open to listening to the entire show. I thought he would dismiss everything that was said. Montgomery commented about your guests to me, or his comment about your guest to me was that he believed you were trying to reel him in because he was way out there in creative genius land. I told him that he was mistaken. You would be the very last one ever to encourage someone to hide their light under a bushel. Well, thank you so much, actually. They don't know me that well, but if that comes across, that is absolutely true. Thank you. So he goes on to say, anyway, the key word that Montgomery got from your program discussion with your guest that evening was the word creating. Over the last several weeks, Montgomery and I have been joking with each other about what we are creating in our lives right now, etc., etc. I sent an email to Montgomery again with the theme of creating the life we want. I was telling him about a meditation seminar that I attended on Saturday. This guru said at the seminar that people need to wake up and realize that the life they are living now is one that we believed would be a good idea at one point in time before we came into our present life. He said that people are afraid to admit that their life does not fit and they think it is hard to change it. He used the metaphor that we would not wear a newly purchased pair of pants if they didn't fit. We would exchange them for something that fits better and suits us at this time in our life. So in my personal spiritual journey, I'm telling you, these emails we get go on and on. And it's so wonderful that we've started this conversation. And the reason I'm reading this, too, is because this is what our show is about. And we haven't really talked about this very much. I guess we've been testing the waters a bit to see if our concept is really working. And without even mentioning it, we are indeed being the bridge that we would like to see in the world from all this stuff that's out there that's either not understandable or feels so far away from our understanding to and bridging that knowledge with children and with people that don't have the time to live this day in and day out. And the person who would rather sit in front of television and watch a game or a TV series or something instead of trying to understand what's going out there. Because it's complicated sometimes, it's difficult sometimes, and it doesn't have to be. So we're bridging that gap, and this is exciting that we've bridged the gap here for our friend Montgomery. And so he goes on to say, so in my personal spiritual journey right now, I am trying on a lot of old pants and evaluating what fits and what needs to be taken back for something that suits me better at this time in my life. I really am walking the talk on this one. I rescued a dog from the pound about 3 months ago. Trixie, as he called the dog, had serious emotional problems that drove her to bad behaviors. I tried to heal her with love and found she was still angry towards others. Well, keeping an angry, abusive person or animal in our lives in the past might have fit then. And in my case, because I have felt they were sent into my life for that season of love. But not anymore. That season of love for this dog was up on Sunday. She no longer fit in my life. I was very concerned about her aggression. The last straw was when I had a dream that she actually bit a small neighbor's child. Interestingly enough, on Sunday, after I brought Trixie back to the pound for adoption, my neighbor came over and said she had not heard much barking today and wanted to know where the killer dog was right now. She explained that the dog had lunged at her daughter the other day and came very close to biting her leg. Well, hopefully the dog Trixie and my friend Montgomery are both learning how to evaluate what fits and make the necessary changes in their own lives so they can help others heal rather than stay in a closed space surrounding by lots of pain. It does them no good, nor does it build community. Sorry for the lengthy email, Filippo. I just thought you would want to know that your program is, with a capital IS, planting seeds and changing lives. Take good care, my friend. Well, this is amazing. This is amazing to me. And ironically, what I was wanting to mention last week is, or maybe the week before, is people talk about feng shuiing our lives and changing things in our house and in our offices to make energy flow better. Well, I haven't heard anybody talk about, and maybe somebody has, feng shuiing our friends or our circle of friends. Or for that matter, our lives outside the home, not just in our offices or whatever, the things we do, the places we go, the people we see. Really, just like this person was getting out of our show, and I'm so grateful that he shared with us, just like that, I feel that we can feng shui the friends that we have in our lives and say, this friend's energy no longer fits in this particular aspect of my life or in my life at this moment. And so with that, our guest today fits this theme very perfectly, as if it were already planned, because our guest is really helping us change the way we think about coincidences and destiny and free will. And for that matter, the people in our lives at the moment, the people in our lives from our past and even from our future. So hopefully we'll get a chance to get into all of that. Our guest had a music career here in Los Angeles where he was a producer and produces some of the biggest acts in town, including things for Peter Gabriel. He also created and produced iMusic at the height of grunge. And then he sold that business because he said he wanted to integrate consciousness and awareness instead of in his spare time. And then he went off and did his life and his job to integrate it into his full time and make it his life's work. So he left that business and started a business with his wife and then wrote this amazing book. And so we're here to talk to him about the book. He is Scott Bloom. He is the best-selling author of the Hay House book called Waiting for Autumn, and is the co-founder of Daily Om, a popular spiritually-based website that offers inspirational messages, horoscopes, and resources for living a well-considered life. So please welcome to the show, Scott Bloom.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Scott, I couldn't wait to have you on the show. You were introduced to us by one of our producers, Jon Snow, and he had read your book, and he said, we have to have this person on the show. And we knew that you had had a beautiful baby and that our previous time slot at 9 o'clock wasn't working for you because you couldn't be up with the baby at that time, etc. So when we changed to 7 o'clock just a couple weeks ago, we knew we had to book you, we could book you on the show then, and we're happy that happened.
Oh, I'm so glad it's working out. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So I read your book as well, and I have to tell you, not only did I enjoy it, but I had some experiences. So much of it resonated with me. I was brought to tears at one point and reverie at other points, and I just felt very connected with the story. And so I would love to tell everybody about the story, but I would hate to give it away. So could you give us a brief synopsis? Obviously, you know which parts to keep for the audience to enjoy later when they read the book.
Sure. Well, basically, the book is essentially my spiritual journey, kind of documents my spiritual awakening. And it's kind of a combination of fact and fiction. It's kind of in the same line as The Alchemist or Way of the Peaceful Warrior, the Silstein Prophecy, books like that. Basically, what happens is the book follows me when I first arrive in Ashland, Oregon, which is my hometown right now, and I meet a homeless man at the local food co-op, and within just a few sentences, he completely turns my life upside down, opens my mind to entirely new possibilities, and forces me to see spirituality in everything that we do, every waking hour of life. And as he opens me up to these experiences, once I'm aware and starting to see spirituality in everything, then he goes after the core of my being, and through different healing modalities helps me heal different aspects of my life, especially the painful situations that I had about my fiancé dying in a car accident when she was hit by a drunk driver. So that basically starts the entire story and then opens me up to all kinds of experiences from there.
Well, like I said, the readers that are open to it, they can be open to all kinds of experiences themselves as they read the book, because we obviously can draw corollaries or analogies from your book for our lives, because in a sense, we all have these kinds of experiences. And one of the things you're saying is in the book that we often don't look at them as such, as meaningful.
Yes, absolutely. I would say that many of us just go through our life thinking that everything is essentially random, that the only thing that matters is our own free will. And although we definitely have free will and we can exercise it whenever we want to, we also have a predestined path that we are essentially set out to follow if we choose to. And if we do choose to, we have the support of the universe behind us. But all of these different experiences that we come to that many people call coincidence or synchronicity or those types of things are essentially the universe giving you signs in order to essentially shine a light on signposts that say, okay, you're on the right path or you're off of the right, you're on the wrong path or different-ish situations. So in my view, nothing is insignificant. It all matters. Whether we choose to ignore it or not is a completely different situation, but it's all there for us.
You know, it that sure comes out in the book. I mean, even down to an act animal. Of course, animals mean so much, and so many of us know how powerful they can be and the significance they can have in our lives. But the way you talked about a particular animal, or a puppy, actually, in the book, was a really interesting way. Again, I don't want to give it away, but there are just so many elements that just make you stop and think. And I've got the book right here, and it's an adorable little book. And it's little. I mean, it doesn't go on forever. You get the point, and you bring it home. So first of all, I have to congratulate you on writing so beautifully on your first time out.
Oh, thanks. That's very nice of you.
And then the thing that baffles me is, you know, you really brought the point home about the coincidence and the meeting strangers in the street and the destiny and all that. It just brought it home that I know all this stuff, and yet how many times do I forget to look at this moment or look at this person and say, this has some significance, let me give it what it deserves, the time or the thought, right?
Yeah, well, I think the reason is, I think as we get older, for many reasons, we have a tendency to want to rely on our intellect and our mental capacity to evaluate if a situation is important or not. And, you know, our intellect, our brains are very useful tools, but they're more useful for you know, balancing our checkbook or remembering vocabularies, words, or things like that, that instead of evaluating if a particular situation has a soul's significance. And instead, what we need to do is essentially go back to our childhood when we actually made decisions based on the way we felt and tune into our intuition, because that's really going to give us the key to evaluate if a situation is important. There is definitely a lot of noise in the world, you know, where things simply just don't matter to us at that very moment. But that being said, almost every moment does have something of significance. So if we're focusing on the things that we might think has significance, you know, maybe it has to do with money or standing in the society or things like that. And don't get me wrong, sometimes, you know, money or fame or those types of things are very important in your own personal destiny, but not always. It shouldn't inform every single decision, and you really need to tune into your intuition and evaluate what is important this particular moment instead of trying to remember, well, this has been important, so this must mean that's important. And that's not the way it works at all. I mean, sometimes it's completely out of left field what's important.
Interesting. Well, it's interesting too that I've read and heard scientists speak, and of course a lot of other people, but what it baffles me that even some scientists say that the brain was never designed to handle these kinds of decisions that you're talking about, that it's actually the heart that's designed for it, because the heart is the... I can't wait to have these scientists on the show and for people to be talking more about this, because they're saying with scientific proof that the heart is the biggest electromagnetic energy creator in the body, more than the brain, and that the energy put out by the heart is measured for feet upon feet as opposed to inches from the brain, and so that, you know, these kinds of... The way that the heart connects is so much more... knowledgeable than the brain anyway, and the brain is just intended to make the muscles work and, you know, the things of the body. So here you are saying, in a sense, the same thing. It's we need to get away from the brain and into our heart.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that for me, I would like to take that further and say that we really need to get into our soul. But definitely, our heart is one of the main gateways into our soul, for sure.
Well, actually, I'm glad you took it to the soul, because you talk about our souls pretty much being fragmented, and tell us how our souls get fragmented according to you in the book.
Sure. Well, basically what happens is, as we go through life, we have these periodic situations which are very painful. When we have these traumatic events, maybe it's childhood trauma, or perhaps it's a loved one dying, These are very painful events, and they're painful, you know, not only on an emotional level, but on a soul level. And in the same way that when we have physical trauma, like to our leg or something, we go into shock and have a tendency to block that pain so we can get out of that situation and come back to it later.
Mm.
The same sort of thing happens with our soul. So if we have a really difficult situation or really painful, you know, emotional traumatic event, then we kind of deaden a piece of our soul in order to get out of that situation. But it's not designed to just simply be left there and to be left buried. I think a lot of us, especially in this day and age, we believe that if we don't feel the pain or the trauma or the anguish associated with a particular event, then that means we've gotten over it. But in actuality, it's completely the opposite. If we haven't dealt with our pain, what happens is it just stays beneath the surface and festers until it comes out in a very, very unflattering way.
Mm.
And it's not healthy at all to try to bury our pain. And so the Native American view of that is that when we go through life and we have these painful situations, what we're doing is we're actually leaving a piece of our soul at that place in time where we had that difficult situation. And so as we get older, we actually have less and less a piece of our soul. And as we were talking before about, having intuition and having our intuition, our heart, be the place where we actually be able to discern these different, life path decisions, our intuition is actually contained within our soul. And so the less of our soul that we have, the more that we've essentially left out into the ethers as we've had these traumatic events, the less access to that intuition we have.
Hmm.
And so that's the reason why, as we're getting older, we actually begin to rely on our intellect more and more, is because we don't really have access to it anymore. We don't really have access to our intuition because our soul has been dispersed everywhere. So in the tradition of shamanic soul retrieval, what happens is a shaman is sort of a Native American healer. A shaman comes and helps you journey back to that place in time. That's the term that's being used, is to journey to that place in time and to retrieve a piece, that piece of your soul that you left behind, and then integrate it back, bring it back to the present and integrate it back with your present soul. And so not only do you have access to that piece of your soul which you didn't have access to before, but with that piece of your soul contains a gift, and that gift is directly related to that difficult experience. My view is whenever we have a difficult experience in life, the universe is actually giving us a gift. And the gift isn't the difficult experience. It's not the traumatic event itself. But it's the wisdom that we learn from going through that.
Whoa.
And so when we bring that piece of our soul back to present, not only do we have access to that soul anymore, but we have the wisdom from that experience. And we can use that now in our daily life, and then not only for our own benefit, but begin to start using it for others.
Wow. I used to work in the corporate world, Scott, and I remember a story being told about people that are being groomed, truly being groomed for top executive positions, are the ones that know how to groom somebody. They give them problems to solve early on, so that when they get into the position of leading, that little problems don't mean anything because they've been through so much on the way there, and that they could lead people with all the problems that come into somebody with that position. And that when nepotism is at its worst is when the children of somebody who owns a company, for example, just babies them along, and everybody babies them or treats them like royalty with kid gloves because they don't want to be fired if they insult the president's son or the owner's son. And those people when they get to those positions, have no idea not only how to lead, but if any problem comes around, they fall apart because they don't have the tools at that point. And so what you're saying says to me that we are given these gifts along the way, and obviously we are able to handle them, right, and should handle them.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, basically integrated, sort of a higher level view of these gifts, is it's definitely about the karmic entanglements or the karmic deeds that we need to resolve. So it's these are the core issues that allow us to progress further. You know, some say down our spiritual path, some say, you know, down our life path, depending on how you want to think it. But either way, it's these difficult situations are the tools that are used in order to unwind our karmic debt.
Wow. Now, let's get into this a little bit. In the book, in your book, Waiting for Autumn, you actually have a soul retrieval experience, which you call a constellation, right?
Well, actually, the soul retrieval that I have takes place in the teepee before the constellation, and the reason for a soul retrieval, I kind of gave an overview just now, is to basically help with our own personal healing.
Okay.
And so, a lot of us, when we're starting out on our spiritual journey, many of us do it because we have some healing that we have to do. We had, you know, difficult childhoods. We have experiences that we need to overcome. And so that's what attracts a lot of people to spirituality. And so that's always step one, is to begin our own personal healing path. Now, some of us get stuck in that cycle and basically want to just spend all of our time healing ourselves, that's very good, but the work is essentially never done. But the second stage of that is when people get into healing themselves, they oftentimes run into these blockages that they just don't understand why they can't get beyond it. It's like, I've done all of this work on myself. I've
Right.
done it so many times. I've done all of this work on myself,
Right.
but I still can't find, a life partner, or I'm still always having money issues, or whatever it is. You know, everybody's different, but I've heard things like that all the time. The question I always ask is, okay, well, have you done any ancestral healing?
Hmm.
And basically what ancestral healing is in the same way we were talking about, let's use the Native American analogy, where you've lost, you know, lost a piece of your soul and you left it along the way. When you get to the end of your life, if you haven't gone back and retrieved these soul pieces, or if you have retrieved the soul pieces, you haven't integrated them with your daily life and with your active present soul. If you've gone to the end of your life and you just haven't dealt with these issues, they don't go away when you die. These issues actually get handed on to your children, to their children, and so on.
Oh, great!
Yes, exactly. And so you're not only affecting your own life, but you're affecting future generations as well.
Is this the sins of the father kind of thing, Scott?
Yeah, exactly. That's part of it for sure. That's one way of looking at it. Basically, the way we're designed, and it seems to be working exactly opposite for most of us. But the way that we're designed is, for future generations, we actually are designed to get more and more and more powerful because we have an energetic connection with all of the ancestors that have gone before us.
Mm.
And so we're actually designed to draw from the strength and the wisdom of everybody before us in our family line, in our ancestral line, as well as our soul family line, which is essentially a similar aspect, which is basically the soul family that you had across all lifetimes. But let's just say across this lifetime, because that's also applicable, that you draw strength from all of the different ancestors that have gone before you, and there's this direct energetic link that gives you that that strength and that power. So you can see that in, you know, where you say there are certain families that are in power and they just remain in power and they just never go away. Well, that's because they're drawing from the strength of everybody that's gone before them. And it's not just a financial thing, it's an energetic thing as well. However, if somebody in your ancestral line didn't deal with these certain issues, there's actually this energy blockage that prevents you from having that energy. And so although we're designed to have all of this support, if there's these unresolved issues, we have what's called an ancestral entanglement, where we no longer have access to that energy, and we don't have the ability to move forward because we don't have that support that we're designed to have. It's almost like being born without a leg or something. You can you can get along without it, but in the case of the ancestral work, you can actually go after that entanglement and unblock that energy, where then it begins to flow again. And that concept is ancestral healing. So one of the things that I talked about in the book, and one of the most powerful ways that I've gone across that I've used for ancestral healing, is called constellation work. And constellations were created by this German man named Bert Hellinger. And essentially what it is it's spiritual theater. It's the easiest way to think about it. Where you basically, let's say that we're having a constellation for you. We would come to a circle, and there would be many different people that would come to that circle, and you would start by picking different representatives to represent the different aspects, the different people within your life that you believe are responsible or are somehow related to a difficult situation you're having. So let's say you're having a difficulty with a daughter or let's say a sibling. So you would bring in maybe you. And let's say in the case of a child, you would bring in a representative for you, a representative for, let's say, your partner, a representative for your child. And then they would go into the circle. You would remain outside of the circle and watch what's going on in the circle. Then the facilitator would then channel spirit or use their intuition to pick different additional people. Then they're getting information that are actually related to the situation. So they might bring in, let's say if it's, a family issue, maybe they'll bring in your mother, your father, your partner's mother, your partner's father, and maybe your grandfather, and different people, maybe your first love. Different people that we have entanglements within this lifetime and that are oftentimes connected together. Then the facilitator would then let the people within the circle move around and interact, and would essentially interview each of these people about what they're feeling. And from a metaphysical level, what's going on is each of these representatives within the circle are channeling the spirits or the soul of those individual people within the field. That's what it's called within the circle, is within the field. And so they essentially, from an energetic level, become these people. And by simply acknowledging and honoring these relationships, which are oftentimes unsaid, especially when it comes to the relationships that you might have with ancestors that may no longer be with us, they might be dead, that you can bring those people in. By acknowledging and honoring these relationships, then that will unblock this energy and then allow it to begin to flow again. And it's just incredible the amount of healing that can be done. I've been in constellations where it's been around siblings that haven't spoken to each other for 10, 15, 20 years. And there's no way that the estranged sibling could even know what was going on. And a week later, that sibling would call completely out of nowhere and say, I'm ready to bury the hatchet and to resolve our issues. And it was just incredible, all of the healing that's done with that type of work.
That just gives proof to the fact that there is no time and space, and that we're all energetic beings, and that the energy is felt across not only the miles, but across the dimensions, whether someone has passed on to another dimension or hasn't come on to this dimension. So it's powerful stuff. I have experienced several different aspects of what you talk about, and it was a powerful part of the book for me when I was reading it, because it reminded me of some of those experiences that I have too. And like I was sharing with you at one point, that I'm becoming conscious of the mirrors in my life from friends and family and different situations, and also not just people being mirrors, but people playing aspects of my ancestors, let's say, or family members that have moved on or what have you, where I actually come to recognize that this is a conversation I was wishing to have with this person before they passed on, and all of a sudden here I am having it, and this person represents that in some way. And being able to recognize that in that moment is so healing and so cathartic.
Yes, absolutely. Well, for me, a lot of those types of those people that come into our lives that that unlock a piece of ourselves that maybe you know, somebody else that are in our life hasn't unlocked that piece where we might
Scott?
Feel like it's very important.
Right.
A lot of times those people are what I referred to before as are members of our soul family. And so in the same way that you know who your, you know, father is and your grandfather, et cetera, are from this lifetime, if you open that up to all of the previous lifetimes you might have, all of the different relationships that you've had in the past and the future collectively represent your soul family. And so a lot of these people that some people term, you know, angels or, you know, earth angels or people like that come into our lives unlock something very powerful, and they may stay in our lives or they may move on and go on forever. These are oftentimes members of our soul family. And so for me nowadays, I have so many people from my soul family that are coming into my life on a regular basis. I almost have this filter where if I meet somebody that I'm not related to on some level, I subconsciously or on a soul level filter them out where I can't remember their name or anything else. But as soon as somebody from my soul family comes into my life, I remember everything about them, even things that, you know, I don't even know about them at all. And I know that it's very important to reconnect with these people. Sometimes it's just for fun. Sometimes it's just, you know, to lighten up the mood. But oftentimes it's, you know, soul level work that needs to be done for either of us.
Wow, this is amazing. And of course, talking about the present is one thing. Talking about the past and people in the past or past lives is a whole other thing, and talking about the future is yet a whole other thing in itself. And so we've talked about the present and people in our past or people that in our past lives. Now let's bring in a third dimension before we wrap up here. I did not want to share the fact that you had a baby, you and your wife, because I felt that was giving it away, because waiting for Autumn, we come to learn in the book that Autumn is a baby. And yet, so I thought when I knew that you had your baby, because we were trying to get you on the show, I thought, oh, I can't say that. But then you said to me, we are still waiting for Autumn.
Yes, that's true. We are. Our new baby is named Oliver. And, you know, he's incredible and definitely changing my life on many, many different levels, as well as reconnecting with him from previous lives. But
right.
definitely Autumn is still in play, and she's, I think she's the one who's pulling the strings anyway, so.
Well, no, it's exactly right. That's what I was getting at, is that you have been feeling the energy, your wife and you have been feeling the energy of a future being coming into your life, into the present. So that's just mind-blowing to me in a whole nother show. And as a matter of fact, a whole nother book. So we've been talking about Waiting for Autumn, but there are a couple other books that we can look out for by you. Tell us what the titles of those are.
Well, as you mentioned, Waiting for Autumn is the current book that's out. The book that's coming out in April 2010 is called Summer's Path. And that's basically the prequel to Waiting for Autumn, and that follows two of the main characters besides me in the 3 months before they meet me. And that's called, that I said that was called Summer's Path. That was originally released as an ebook, but there are two additional chapters that are going to be included in the hardcover, which comes out in 2010. And then the third book, which is coming out in 2011, picks up after Waiting for Autumn and continues the journey from there.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name of the last book.
That's because it's not official yet. I haven't talked about the name of the book.
Oh, okay.
I can assure you it will likely have the word winter in it, though.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, like I said, I don't want to give anything away, and I, you know, sometimes we know more than we want to put out there. So thank you for sharing with us as much as you have. This is really exciting, and having you come from where you came from, here, right here in our own Hollywood, where we are, Los Angeles, to now you're in Oregon with your wife. And let's mention also your wife is Madison Taylor, and knowing that you two left here to go and recreate a life for yourselves of or create a life for yourself of integrated consciousness and awareness. And the way you're doing that, too, is you're helping others have a life like that or bringing that into their life with your website. So please tell us real quickly what that other website is and what that's about.
Sure. Well, we started the website Daily Om, and Daily Om sends inspirational messages every day. You can sign up for a free inspiration message, free horoscope, music recommendations. Go to Daily
Wait a minute. Are you? I have to interrupt you. Are you the guy that writes from the universe?
No. It's a different
one. Oh. Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay, never mind.
Okay. Daily Om is available at dailyom.com, and you can sign up for free. And then we also have online courses from various luminaries like A. Hendricks, Debbie Ford, Sonia Choquette, all kinds of great people there. So you can check all that out at dailyom.com.
Well, you know what? I got excited earlier because you are the guy, actually. I a friend of mine sends me every once in a while. They're so intuitive and they're so wonderful, and every once in a while I get them like, who is this? That's been you and your family all along. Or you and your wife all along. That's great.
Yeah, actually my wife is responsible for all of the Daily Om messages, and she's also responsible for the Daily Om book. The first Daily Om book came out last year and actually just won a great award. It was voted as the best self-help book, as voted by all the New Age bookstores. And her second book, which is called Daily Om Learning to Live, is coming out in February 2010, a couple months before my next book.
Wow. Well, I just know that we're going to be knowing each other, and you're somebody from my future that I finally got to speak with today in my present.
Yes, definitely.
And Scott, so that people know where to find you and get your books and find out more about you, your website is scottbloom.net, and spell your last name for us.
Yeah, it's scottbloom.net, and anybody that wants to go to my website now can actually download the first three chapters of Waiting for Autumn for free and see if you like it.
Oh, they'll like it because that's you get hooked right away. So, Scott, you had me from the first chapter, actually, and from the first few minutes of our conversation earlier and now again on radio. It's been an absolute delight. I want to thank the author on Hay House of the book Waiting for Autumn, and Scott Bloom. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk again soon. That was absolutely delightful. And actually, you know that at this point in our show, we always have Stacey Hess come on and talk about the luminary of the day. Well, today we're going to have one of our producers, Mark Skelton, talk instead. Let's see what Mark has to say.
Thank you, Philippa.
Let's see if we can understand what Mark has to say.
Thank you again, Philippa. Always the wit of the room, even when he's the only man in it.
Well, you're here.
I know. Exactly. There is a twist to tonight's luminary list.
There's always a twist.
There's always a twist, but this is a special twist with a cherry on top.
Okay.
Right?
How come I never get to know what...
Because it's special. It's a special luminary list.
All right.
And the luminary for this week is Stacey Hess from Positive PR. Do you see what we did there?
Oh, I know why, and that's really special.
It's very special.
Are you going to tell everybody why?
I will.
Really great.
Stacey is no longer working with Life Changes with Filippo in the capacity that she was. She is still a friend of Life Changes with Filippo, and I'm sure she'll still be bringing amazing energy, amazing connections, and amazing love and light and all the great stuff that Stacey does seamlessly. Now, Stacey has found her calling, and she's mentioned this calling a few times in the last few weeks, but this last weekend really brought it home for her, and she graciously explained to us all that she'd never felt this energized to be working on a particular project, and that project is the Corey Feldman Project, which I'm sure you'll remember from previous weeks, and the Truth Movement. And it's just going gangbusters, as we say. Surely, I don't know if you say that here as
no,
well.
No, we don't.
But it means from strength to strength. And Stacey is alive, she's vibrant, she's reconnected, and she's doing amazing work for the planet and amazing work for everybody. So we should all be grateful because she truly is walking her talk, and she's a luminary that we can learn from. And so I just wanted to give a big shout out to Stacey. She had no idea we were going to do this, neither did Filippo, but she truly is a luminary for us all to watch, because she is just going to go brighter and brighter, and she will shine for us all, and we will be working together in the future. I just know it. I feel it in my DNA. So thank you, Stacey.
Thank you, Stacey, and this is so beautiful. I feel the need to translate for people that didn't understand what Mark was saying. No, actually...
I won't bite.
I noticed. I'm impressed.
No matter how much money you offer me, Philippe, I will not bite.
I'm not offering you any money, at least not for that. In any event, wow, what a beautiful thought. And I was going to say that I miss Stacey, and that she's with us in so many ways, and in our hearts and in our thoughts, and we know that she's happy doing what she's doing, and she was happy here too, but
she is multidimensional. Exactly, she is truly multidimensional, but right now she's just mastering being in two places at once. So we're going to give her the space to be in one place for now, and we're all connected, we're all working together, and even though we can't see the mosaic of connection right now, we truly know that we will all come together and we will work on amazing projects, and we're doing the same thing. You know, she's changing lives, we're changing lives, it's all beautiful, it's all perfect, and we may not see the big picture, but we certainly feel it. So thank you again. And
thank you, Mark. You did a great job. Well, that was our luminary list with our producer, Mark Skelton. What a change. Another change in the world has taken place right here, and we are dealing with it with love and joy and much compassion and great anticipation. So thank you, Mark, and thank you, Stacey. And now we've got our very own Dorothy Lee, our cosmic advisor and so much more, awakener, accelerator. What's that other A word that you like?
Activator.
I don't know why that doesn't stick with me, but certainly it has. I've been activated, accelerated, and awakened in so many ways, and I thank her for it. And by the way, we should say that, you know, at the end of the show, we mentioned that this show is sponsored in part by Love and Miracles. Well, if some of you haven't made the connection or gone to the website, that's our very own Dorothy Lee. She is Love and Miracles, and she is that indeed. So find out more about her and Love and Miracles at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. But for right now, she is going to be bringing us the State of the Universe Address.
Hi. It was a great show tonight. And thank you, Mark. That was wonderful. I've spoken a little to you before about relationships and how I've observed that most relationships are really reactionships, as I see more and more people going into reaction with one another as the planetary shift gains momentum. A very good friend of mine sent me an amazing video of a star child doing her very best to communicate with and relate to her father. The video was described to me as funny and interesting. However, I did not find the video funny at all, and every woman and the enlightened men with whom I've shared this video find it painful, just as I do. The video shows a beautiful young female star child doing her very best to relate to her father as she attempts to share what she knows to be true. My intuition tells me that her mother is off camera, but very present for her. You can see this video for yourself if you go to lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on to life-changing words. I refer to her as a star child because you will see a young goddess of maybe 18 months speaking her home planet language and carefully and with much animation, doing her very best to communicate with her father. The title of the video is, Are Women Born Like This? Intimating that women are born talking nonsense. In fact, if you were to Google, Are Women Born Like This?, you will find a subtitle for this video that reads, blah, 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 blah. I highly recommend this video, and I ask that you please watch this carefully and more than once. Although some people think this is really funny because it is this young girl who appears to be just babbling nonsensical baby talk, I find it very painful because I've been that little girl for almost 65 years now. I am an ambassador from the stars, and I've been doing my very best to communicate with human beings since the day I was born. At the beginning, I tried telepathic communication with my parents and older brother, and as soon as I could speak, I too spoke in the language of my home planet, which happens to be Arcturus. My mother remembers it differently and often told me I was born talking like this beautiful child, and everyone thought it was so funny. So I shut down at an early age, and to this day, many people still cannot hear me and find what I say amusing and strange. In the video, this child speaks her ET language very clearly to her father, and the way she uses her hands is amazing. You will notice that as long as her father appears to take her seriously, she is very animated and happy. However, the moment he begins laughing at her, she looks confused and sad and starts to shut down and looks to her off-camera mother for support. However, she carries on, and I would love to know what happened after they turned off the camera. If you listen carefully, you will notice that she is really speaking a language and sharing some very important information with her audience. I'm speaking about this with you today because there are so many starseed, crystal children, star children, and indigo children being born every day, and many who have been with us for years. In fact, one of our producers just welcomed his precious star child, who was born on May 22nd of this year. Kingston is an awesome and amazing young being, and he and I communicate very clearly telepathically. I know that when he begins to speak, that his parents will not laugh at him, but will instead do their very best to understand him and support him. Wayne Dyer tells a story about a young boy, about 3 years old, who kept trying to sneak into his newborn baby sister's room when his parents weren't looking. The parents were afraid he might be jealous and maybe hurt his little sister. So they set up a baby monitor to watch and listen to what he was doing because he was so persistent in trying to be alone with her. When he was allowed to do so, all he did was go close to the crib and whisper to her these words, "Please tell me about God because I am starting to forget." The younger we are, the closer we are to our Creator, and unfortunately, we soon forget the Creator is our true mother and father, and that each of us are divine children of God. There are also many of these children who are 12 months to 19 years old, and they are not being heard. So if you are fortunate enough to have a newborn in your lives, please do your best to tune in and to listen from your hearts. If you have older children, please do the same. And if you have friends and loved ones, please, please do your best to hear them, even though you may find that their minds do not work exactly as yours does. Communication is a two-way street, and I know from personal experience how painful it is to not be heard, even when I'm doing my very best to be understood. I have many friends who tell me that I am the clearest and easiest person they know to understand, and yet one of the closest and dearest friends that I have finds it next to impossible to hear me, much less understand me. However, I know that when we listen from our hearts, even the most difficult people we know can and will be understood. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices, and please know that you are loved. You are lovable, and you are loved.
Wow. Thank you, Dorothy Lee, for the State of the Universe address. As always, it is very impactful and powerful. And today you took it into a whole other dimension, not just the state. Well, actually, you took it into the universe, or the multi-universe, actually, as some would say. So you took it there and brought us a whole other perspective. So thank you very much. And it's interesting because, you know, my brothers are also raising some beautiful children, my nieces and nephews and my godchildren, and they've told me, don't act surprised around what they are saying. Let them teach you. And, of course, they need to learn the ways that we have in this world, but they're not necessarily the best ways or the only ways. And so there's a beautiful balance of learning from them and them learning from us. It's an amazing perspective. So thank you, Dorothy, for sharing that and bringing that to our consciousness. Well, friends, that is our show for today. Wow. We'd like to thank once again Scott Bloom for being a part of it with us and for sharing Waiting for Autumn with the World, his new book. If you'd like to learn more about him, go to our show archives. You can actually listen to the show again or click on his website. And for that matter, any of the respective links for any of our guests in the past and in the future. We look forward to being together again with our next guest. And next week is Denise Martel. She is the stress manager, and boy, can I use that right now. Why can't she be on today? Denise, if you're out there listening, if you only knew, she's a stress manager for Hollywood's Rich and Famous. She'll be sharing her amazing journey with us, along with some life-saving tips on how we can prosper and thrive in today's demanding, hectic world. I look forward to that as well. Remember, you can keep the conversation going next week by visiting us or writing us at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. I am Filippo, and my name is spelled F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Connect with us also on Life Changes with Filippo, our Facebook page. We have a fan page out there for all of you, and we have our individual pages for all of us to connect and stay together. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ion Ways Water Systems, Changing Your Ways, Changing Your Life, and Love and Miracles. Of course, remember, that's Dorothy Lee. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. Again, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee, and today, Mark Skelton, our show producers, Mark Skelton, John Snow, and Mark Leger, and Seth, our engineer, thank you for joining us and being part of the show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You've been listening to Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo.